From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. With me, my guest, Bob Lawson, a co-director with the Vigo County Registration. Thank you for joining me, Bob.
Thank you for having us on here this morning.
Well, you know, I felt like it might be a little important considering, you know, these next couple of weeks are very important as far as, you know, the elections and things going on in Vigo County. If you could just kind of describe to me who it is that you work for and what it is that you do for them.
Sure. Well, the voter registration office, we take care of obviously registering the voters, but we also take care of if someone would move from the county, change their registration, we get them moved out of there to the right place. We also would take care of any deceased voters that come in. If somebody gets convicted of a crime, they get or they're not allowed to vote any longer, we have to contact them by letter to let them know that they've lost that right. And then when it comes to election time, since both of our directors in our office, we serve at the discretion of our county chair people, and the county chairmen are the ones that choose who actually will be working at the polls on election time. And so that becomes part of our office's job, is to contact the individuals that would typically work for us election after election. Sometimes we'll get others that'll call in and say, hey, when you're getting ready to do this, we'd like to become a election worker, so we'll contact them. From there, we go through a process that the state does require them to pass a test, so they come sit through a class, which is paid, which is nice. That way they're not just wasting their time. They're getting paid for that. And if they pass the test, then at the end of this testing that they do, they're allowed to become a poll worker. And so it's kind of a constant thing that we work on yearly, all year round anyway.
Right.
But this one being just a municipal election is a little smaller than the normal ones. In Vigo County, we have on election day, we'll have 10 vote centers. Right now, we've only got the two early vote centers open. But basically, what we look at is, as a bare minimum, we need from each party, with 10 vote centers, we would need 40 people thereabouts. And then we'll also try to get what we consider to be alternates, because we know, because we actually started this procedure back in August of getting these people assigned to the duties that they were going to be performing. But we know that going into it that early, things can happen. People could get sick. People's jobs might change. They might move out of the county. So we will start collecting alternate election workers. And I've been very fortunate. I've been in this office now for 10 years. And I inherited quite a few good poll workers from person that was there before me, and then I've collected a lot along the way. And for our party, we have had really no problems filling all the positions for each election. Apparently, throughout the state, that's not the case.
Right.
And so, right now, the state's Secretary of State has put a notification out that they need poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not exactly the case for Vigo County,
right?
Because I believe that between both parties, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 alternates on top of the 80 people that we already had. So we had a good selection there. But one of the things that they're doing by still advertising this, and we're still having daily people calling in saying, "Hey, if you want to, you know, you need a poll worker, I would like to get my name in the hat." Is we're still going ahead and getting all their information, because for the 2024 election, when we're going to be doing elections for not only all of our a lot of our local offices, we're going to have senator, governor, president, along with a lot of other little incidentals that we'll have quite a few more than 10 voter polling sites come 24, so we know we're going to need probably at least twice as many people as what we did this time. So we're going ahead and gathering those names, and That way we can, when it comes time to start calling upon people for 24, we're going to have a nice list, we hope, to go back to get those filled very quickly. For someone that would be interested in being a poll worker, it's pretty simple. You have to be a registered voter in the county that you, the one that you live in, that's where you'd be working, and that you can't, like, move county to county. You have to be in that county to work.
Is there a certain amount of time you have to live in the county
well,
in order to be part of that?
Basically, to be a registered voter, what they consider to be a registered voter, is you need to live in that district for 30 days.
Okay.
And as long as you're there for 30 days, and of course in Indiana, registration ends 30 days prior to an election, so anybody that's registered is going to be there for those 30 days.
Right.
So, you know, that really doesn't become a point unless somebody would happen to maybe move counties or move states or that sort of thing. But you need to be a registered voter, and then what they'll do is they'll look at it back to your record of how you voted, because the state will not let, for someone that has a record of voting, say, Republican, they're not going to let them be a Democrat poll worker and vice versa.
Right.
And so we look back at their voting record, and then we'll divide them back up between the parties again so that we'll know who can actually work for who.
Now, is that something that you look at the history of further back than just the previous year? Because there are some people who, you know, don't go straight ticket or don't go one direction or the other.
And in Indiana, that's a little different for someone that's just maybe moving here, because they hear all the time on the news about the Democrat primary in New York, and that sort of thing. Obviously, in Indiana, you can vote whichever party you'd like as your preference. But let's say if you are primarily voting Democrat, then we'll look at that record. And if you'd voted Republican the last election, then we either have to get the county chairman to sign off and say that you're okay to work, or the clerk's office is not going to allow it to go through, because they'll look at basically the last two elections of how you voted. And as long as you're voting the way that you're requesting to work, they'll, you know, that's the kind of the criteria to it. This is different. It seems like every year there'll be new rules and regulations that come into what we can and can't do.
Right.
And this is something that's come up in the last few years. It used to be we'd look at one election. Now we go back two elections. But the nice way that the system works is every county in the state is all hooked up to Annapolis, so we can all look. We could look anybody up in Indiana as long as we knew the name or their address or some sort of basics about them. We can find how they vote. But we've got a nice system in place there where we can look through that, and it'll go back and show us their past 10 elections very simply. If you want to dig a little further, we could look back, I believe it was 2005 when the system actually came into play. So you can look back at their records through 2005 and see. And but being one of these states that is where you can change back and forth does give the voter a lot of opportunity to flex their muscle when they go to the polling places.
It does, and I think it also plays a big role into the local elections, feeling a little bit more flexible to vote whichever direction it is you would like to.
Absolutely, and that's one thing that we see throughout Indiana. As I say, I've been there for 10 years, and several counties, including ours, used to vote one way primarily all the time. Clay County is no different, Sullivan County, but now we've seen that shift where there's a lot of people voting different ways. As you mentioned, they might vote one way one election, and then the next election they'll come in, they might take a different primary ballot.
It makes those projections a lot more difficult to assess as well.
It's become almost impossible to judge. You know, people will ask you, well, how's voting going? Well, you know, voting is going okay, but we couldn't tell you how anybody's, you know, whether this candidate's doing well or this candidate's mm-hmm. doing well, because they can simply vote whichever way they want to vote.
I mean, you can get an 80% Democratic turnout for your primaries, and then come a general, it's closer to 50-50.
Right.
And I mean, it gets a lot, yeah,
murky. And that's happened here the last several elections.
So tell me, you know, you talk about how sort of busy, really, it's been as far as getting people to work in the poll areas for Vigo County. How's the surrounding area look? I mean, you talked about the state as a whole kind of asking, you know, we're looking for people and stuff. How's the Wabash Valley looking?
Well, from everything I've heard, everything's going very smoothly with this election. Right. And again, this one being just municipalities, and some of them aren't even having elections. If there's no opposition, they don't have to hold an election. So, you know, that's one of those things we were talking about the other day. Normally, for an election time, for our office, for example, we're open any time that the polls are open. Because when one of those poll workers finds someone that's not on their poll books, they will contact us and say, hey, we're not finding this person. And we have, again, different ways we can look them up. We can look them up by age, Social Security number. If they would happen to have their registration number, we can look it up that way, but definitely by name. And so sometimes what we'll find is they may not be on there because they've simply had a name change. And what their driver's license says is not necessarily the way that they're registered. And that's how they look them up, is by that driver's license. But we'll normally start getting phone calls that first day that polls open. And we were just commenting on it that so far in Vigo County, we've been voting since October the 11th. Our office has received exactly one phone call about a person coming to vote. And that is very unusual. Mm-hmm. Now, I've not spoken with any of the other counties around us, but from what I'm hearing, it's being very smooth everywhere around us. And you know, that's good. Maybe by having that off year, we got our records caught up better. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those nonstop things. We've always got some sort of work we can do, even when there is an election. We worked on our poll list to make sure that everyone that was in our system, we had their registration card, all of it matched up. And so we thought we'd be ahead to come up for these next two elections. And like I said, so far, everything is running very smoothly.
So that state request for, you know, poll workers cited COVID as one of those reasons why the numbers are a little bit further down than they have been in past years. You talked about it. You've been working in this area for 10 years, and you're saying, you know, we're doing well now. We did well then. What is it about this area that you think is getting such a great turnout?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I guess I was shocked when I took this job that we had so many names to choose from.
Right.
Because back when we used to have the non-vote centers where we had to have all these people for each precinct, I know it kind of became a situation to get enough people. They always did, but at least... like the Democrat Party in our county was always spot on. Republican Party might have a vacancy here or there, but he'd always shift people around to cover all the more important jobs. Mm-hmm. And back then we had what they called a sheriff, which was just basically a ceremonial person that was there to just watch over everything. And if someone that was supposed to be a clerk or whatever was not there, we'd move the sheriff into that position. So, we always made it work. But by going to vote centers, it's really helped that out, because now they don't have to necessarily be in that precinct that they're in to work, which they didn't before, but everybody thought they did. We can kind of move them from wherever we have to. And like I said, we've been very blessed with the amount of people. It just seems like every election, we'll get more and more of them that want to come on board. And, you know, a lot of them will tell us, well, it's my civic duty. It's like serving on a jury. Mm-hmm. And I guess it kind of is, except we don't send you a notification saying you've got to come do this. You're doing it out of the goodness of your heart. You do get paid for it. And, you know, I know that they don't get paid enough. And that's one of those things we're always striving to try to put a word in that we need to pay these people more money, because basically on election day, they want you in the polling places by 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're not allowed to leave until those polls close and all the, you know, everything's tabulated, everything's put back together, and everything's ready to go back to the office before anyone's allowed to leave.
So that could be a 24-hour day.
Well, it won't be 24. It'd be a 13 and a half hour day. But like I said, they've got to be a kind of a dedicated soul to do it. Now, you were speaking of COVID. During COVID, we did lose several of our good poll workers that just, one, we tend to have an older group of workers, and some of them weren't of the notion that they wanted to be around people. But we also had people that were willing to come out and work. The state did make some amends back at that time that they did waive that ruling that you had to be in the same county that you lived to work. They let them cross over. But again, we didn't really find that we had that big, big problem. We were able to keep all of our polls going and fully staffed. And thanks to the clerk's office, they might have had some of their office workers having to come in and help, but it got done.
Right.
Now, so far this election, we saw that COVID kind of make a little bit of a return. We've had a few people that have had to just say, I can't do the training. I can't come work. We've had some that have already reported to work and then gotten ill. But we know those things are going to happen. And that's why we have all those alternates in place, so that we have a nice pool of people we can choose from to say, okay, so-and-so's out, we're bringing you in. And it's great to have that.
And that's where having that huge backup come next year is going to be play a big role. Even though your numbers are obviously going to go up, you're still going to have a pool.
Oh, absolutely.
People.
And, you know, it's one of those things that in Vigo County, for instance, we have 74,000 some odd voters as registered. But when you drop that off to people that are registered just in the city, that's going to drop it down to like 39,000.
Right.
So, it's about half and half. So, and so we've get a lot of phone calls right now from people that says, I can't find where I'm supposed to go vote. And so we'll say, well, what's your address? Let's look you up and make sure that you're in the city limits. And we're getting a lot of people that actually live outside of the city limits that would love to vote in this election. And so I think they're getting all ready to go for next election.
I think there's a palpable difference in elections from the last grouping to this. I mean, there's a lot of people that are excited about this upcoming election.
Oh, yes. And you know, with the actual governor seat here and the Senate seat both being vacated, because the governor can't run another term and the senator is choosing not to, I think it's going to be a pretty wide race there in the primary. A lot of people getting in those races. And, of course, presidential people love to come out and vote on that presidential race. Now, my opinion is that our local races are going to be those people that you're going to be in more and more contact with on a daily basis, that you need to really pay as much attention to this municipal race as you're going to pay attention to a presidential race, because in the grand scheme of things, you have a lot better chance of coming in contact or having, that actually affect your day-to-day life. But they're all important, and we're happy that they are doing this.
So if somebody wants to get put on that list of people, can they still do it?
Oh, absolutely. We're doing it daily. And if they've still got positions available to get anyone into a training class, I know they're still going ahead and taking names to add to the alternate list. But we're coming up on that where the last training class is going to be just coming up very shortly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the time for this election is pretty much over. But anyone that would like to get their name on a list for the 2024 election, go ahead and contact us. And then if we contact you and things have changed and you're not eligible or not able to work, just tell us. I would have loved to have, but my plans have changed. We all understand. But, you know, anyone that has done it before, I think most of them will tell anyone, we find it very interesting.
Right.
It's very different. Some, like I said, it can be a long day, but I used to do it from the time I turned 18. I worked at a polling spot up until the time that either a relative or myself was on a ballot, and then you weren't allowed to work at the polls. And then, as I mentioned, 10 years ago, I came into this office. So now I've got a little more direct responsibilities with the elections. But, you know, it's one of those things, you kind of become an election junkie, so to speak. You know, it's just part of your living and life. And you know, like I said, we would invite anyone and everyone, give us a phone call. Right now, the state pays a minimum of $140 if you're chosen to be a election worker on election day itself. For early voting in Vigo County, we pay what we pay our part-time people, which is right now $13.36 an hour. Like I said, it's not fantastic pay, but it's not a hard job. It's just one of those things that we always ask. Can you sit or stand for long periods of time? Can you get along well with others? Do you have dependable transportation to get to the polling places? If you hit all that criteria, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, I really appreciate it, Bob. Bob Lawson, co-director at Vigo County Registration, and hopefully those numbers continue to move up, especially as we get closer and closer to next year, because I think it's going to take a lot of manpower to get that going. This has been a Focus on the Community produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 11:30 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM, and on Sunday morning from 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any past programs, go on to any of our station's websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community. My name is Landon Kleindorfer, and joining me was Bob Lawson.